I say it's kind of a summary of everything we believe. This will start from the Godhead. And I will just give you some Bible verses that you can refer to later. And from the Godhead all the way to the Lord coming soon. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, here he said, "Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord," that's capital L, "but by the Holy Ghost." Jesus is the Lord. So remember that. It's by the Holy Ghost. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians, the book of Colossians chapter 2. Apostle Paul giving us how we come to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord. When we say Lord, Lord of all. Just as he's the Lord of the heavens and the earth, he also has to be the Lord of your life and my life. That is capital L, Lord. Colossians chapter 2, beginning from verse, let me read verse 2 first and then verse 9. Apostle Paul again, he said, "Praying that the hearts, our hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father and of Christ." This mystery of God, the Father, and Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In verse 9, I jumped to verse 9, he said, "For in him," in Jesus Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." I will repeat that again. He said, "In him," I'm pointing out what we have preached to you here. One of them is the Godhead is being Christ. And this is what Apostle Paul is saying. "In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And it's on this planet Earth, he told them that, I'm going to point some more Bible verses. Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10, he said, "Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Remember those two Bible verses, and let me give you another Bible verse in Gospel of John, chapter 14. Just pointing to you how we know that the Godhead is one, and is the Lord Jesus Christ manifested to us as God the Father incarnated. John chapter 14, verse 9. Here the Lord Jesus Christ came at the last few days before he went to the cross, talking to the apostles. In verse 9, starting from Philip, in verse 8, Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and he sufficeth us." Because they have been hearing him calling, praying, talking about the Father, the Father, the Father. And they said, "Well, gee," they were getting confused, because if I tell you Father, you think my daddy at home, not so. And they are always confusing that. But they know he was not referring to Joseph, because Joseph was dead by that time. And they couldn't. So at this point, Philip said, "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And the Lord Jesus Christ said unto him, verse 9, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not know me, Philip? Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Meditate on that Bible verses. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he dwelleth the works." Now there's a Bible verse that many people have not been considered that I'm going to throw in here. And it's in John chapter 14 also, verse 1 and 2, which I will refer to later at the end. just pointing to this God, I'm going to go to the next thing because I'm summarizing everything we have known, that we have taught, that you can rest your heart on it. That this is what the Bible says. I'm just giving you Bible verses. The Lord Jesus Christ in verse 1 of that chapter 14 said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now consider what he said. "Ye believe in God." Listen to it. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God." Look at what he said next. "Believe also in me." So that makes him equal to God, not so. If I tell you that, hey, I know you respect your daddy, respect me also. That means I'm equating myself with your daddy, not so. That's what he's saying. "Ye believe in God." He said, "Believe also in me." I said, "What?" Because somebody told Jesus, "Oh, are you greater than our father Abraham?" He didn't reply that because he was not just greater than Abraham, he created Abraham. So he just, because he didn't want them to start telling him on that, he said, "Well, let's postpone that." But this is what he was telling them in the secret room. "You believe in God?" He said, "Believe also in me." That equated him to God. If you say that to anywhere on this planet, you say to anybody that, "I know you respect your daddy, respect me also." That's me, I'm equal to your daddy. I may not be your daddy, but I'm equal. So that is what he's saying, that if you believe in God, you believe also in me. So remember that. Now, that is Godhead summarized to you. You can go back to many of the Bible verses. Now, continue in the word of God is what the Lord also wants us to remember. John chapter 8. Because believing is one thing. Here is what he said to the disciples, the Jews that believe in him. John chapter 8, verse 30. Like I said, this is just summary of all that we have been preaching, or I have been preaching. John chapter 8, verse 30. Here he said, "As he spake these words, many believed on him." And verse 31 said, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." So after he said, you believe in Christ is the head of all things, you believe he died for you on the cross, then continue in his word, then you are his disciple indeed. Then say, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In the book of Titus, chapter 2, like I said, these are just summary. So I'm just going to give you some Bible verses if you want to write them down. They are summary of things we have preached over the years. Titus chapter 2. Now, when we talk about the salvation that God has brought to us, there is this aspect of, let me give you a story. They brought somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the temple preaching. And then they said there was a woman that was caught in adultery, in the very act. And they brought that woman to the Pharisees, because they knew the law said they should stone that woman. And the Pharisees said, let's kill two birds with one stone. That rabbi, they didn't believe in this rabbi, he's in the temple. Let's take this woman, and we have been hearing that this rabbi has been changing the law of Moses on us. Preaching that Moses said this, but I said this. Moses said this, but I said this. What? So let's take him, let's go see. And then they brought this woman caught in adultery to Jesus. They said, "Master, this woman was caught in adultery. There's no need for witness in the very act. Now, Moses said this should be stoned to death. But what said thou?" So they wanted to kill two stones with one. They wanted to get him also. And the Lord Jesus said, you all know the story. Now, what I wanted to point out in this story is, after the Lord told them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone. And they all went out one by one. Now, the Lord Jesus looked up. It was in the temple. So he said, what are those accusers? I said, no one. He said, okay, neither do I condemn you, but go and what? Sin no more. So the way I'm going is this. The grace of God said, go and sin no mourn. That is what grace is. The grace of God. You could have heard preacher said, we are saved by grace, not by the works. But the grace of God is, go and sin no more. Now, suppose that woman said, and went away, and told all the people that were, that rabbi said, I should go. And went, kept on doing a fornication and adultery and so on. What do you think will happen to her? Answer. The world, that's the Pharisees, they will still grab her. But this time, they won't be taken out to the rabbi. The world already condemned that sin. Even though they have their own sin, but they already condemned that sin. To them, that is how the world has already judged all some sins. So they will take her that time and say, we caught her again in adultery, and they will stone her. They won't take her to any rabbi. Now, she may go before God and say, well, gee, that rabbi said I should go. No, he didn't say should go. He said, go and sin no more. He didn't say go. He said, go and, two things, sin no more. So why did I brought that in? Continue in my word that I told you just a few minutes ago. John chapter 8, verse 30. He saw some disciples that said they already started believing. He said, if you continue... Amen? If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So if that woman said, that rabbi said, go. But the rabbi didn't say just go. He said, go and sin no more. If she did not do the other part, sin no more, she has not continued in his word. Remember that. Because Jesus Christ said in the place, he said, he's not going to judge anybody. He said, the word that I speak unto you is what is going to judge you and me on that day. It is his word that's going to judge you on that day. So that's why many people will say, I did this in your name. I didn't say, but I said, I never knew. It's his word. So that woman that will have said, oh, grace, Jesus Christ saved me. He said, I should go. But you didn't continue in his word. Sin no more. The world will arrest the woman, they will condemn her, they will kill her without bringing her again to the Messiah. And she will be judged just like that. But it is continuing in his word. It's one of the things we have taught here. So that you have to remember the grace of God in Titus chapter 2 verse 11. That's where I want to go to now. In the book of Titus chapter 2, what Apostle Paul said here is, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. That salvation is through grace. But has appeared to all men, to teaching us that we should what? Deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. This grace of God brings salvation to us freely. Grace means it's a free gift. It's not because you are being holy that God saved you. Remember that. Not because you are never done something wrong, that's why he saved you. No. Not because you are the best person in your family, that's why he saved you. No. Not because you are the most holy person in your family, or you are the only one that goes to church in your family, that's why God saved you. No. He saved you out of his grace. So that now that he has saved you, you are to do what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That is the first thing. He redeemed us from all iniquity, sins, misbehaviors. He might redeem us from all iniquity, and then purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So that is the part of it that is your own part. Zealous of good works. The good works is the righteousness, holiness, living for him. Remember, when you continue in his word, you are his disciple indeed. Amen. And I said those are the things we have preached. Continuing in his word, it is grace of God that saved you. Now you are saved, do the works of righteousness. And one of the things we have taught here is you have to purpose within yourself to live for him. Amen? Purpose. That means it's a self-decision. Self-decision to live for God. We read the Daniel that we went through a little bit of it, but in the book of Daniel chapter 1, we see the example how Daniel, the prophet, purposed to live for God and not to defile himself. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. This is what Daniel did, and we have exhorted one another here concerning that. You are to purpose. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. In short, Daniel's decision to live for God is his own personal decision. Your living for Christ is your personal decision and determination to follow him and to obey his word. Not because our family said we shouldn't do this, our family. Or the church I attend. The church I attend said we shouldn't do this. Then you are still following the church. Because if you leave that church, you go to that church, you are, everything goes. You say, well, maybe these people are just too strict. This is the church. No. You have to purpose within yourself that you want to serve the Lord and live for him. And then search from the scriptures what is acceptable unto the Lord. So we thank God he has made every one of us to be able to read, comprehend, and then make up your decision to follow him. So it's a purposeful lifestyle you are to live for Christ. And all these things we are saying, when we say continue in his word, it's a decision you have to make, not your family decision. It's good if the family make that decision, but it is you have to make that decision to follow him. Amen? Now, what are the benefits of following him? We also talk about that. Everything we have been talking most of the time, the healing of the sick, the miracles, and blessings of God, those are all benefits of living for him. Benefits. You started working in a corporation, they said this is your salary, but they also give you some package. This is your benefits. You can do this, you will get this every year if you do this. I have some benefits in the place where I work, they said. Fitness, they say, we pay you $250 every year if you go and join any fitness club. I say, what? Okay. I'm a member of this Paradise Valley Community College Fitness Center. It costs me almost $295 every year. They say, well, we reimburse you $250. Well, you think I won't go and register? I will register there every year. Why? Because somebody is paying for it. That is benefit for just being an employee of that company. Now, good. There are benefits for following Jesus also. And these are the benefits. Mark chapter 16. One of the benefits. There are many of them. I'm going to give you just one or two. These signs shall follow them that believe in me. It's what Jesus Christ gave to us here. Mark, the Gospel of Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Starting from verse 16, he said, go ye into all the world. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17 said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Everyone, them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That is general signs, general benefits for those that believe. Along with many other benefits, when he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, I will not put upon thee any of those diseases which I put upon the Egyptians, that is the world. Those are benefits you can lay claim upon by confessing the word of God concerning your life. John chapter 8, verse 51, we also talk of this greater benefit that Jesus said in Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 51, which is the climax. Because it's so benefits. Benefits is you heal your body. Benefits is you get your blessings because you have a business and it's prospering you. Benefits in that you have peace of mind. Somebody saw me a long time and said, oh, this man, you have never changed since I saw you 40 years ago. What happened? You were still skinny like everybody, like I saw you. And you kept yourself, I said, well, Those are fringe benefits of my lifestyle. Those are fringe benefits or side effects, we call it. There are many side effects for living for God. You may keep yourself younger. You may keep yourself healthier. Those are just side benefits. If you are fasting regularly, you may keep yourself from many sicknesses. Those are just fringe benefits that you will get. And the climax that Christ can give to you is what he says in John chapter 8, verse 51. When he was discussing with the Jews, through this one, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." And before, let me read verse 50. So that you may see that he is trying to elevate his glory. He said, "And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth." That is God, the Father, is the glory that he is showing to you guys. It is God that is glorifying him. And then he told this one, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man," that's anybody, "keep my saying, he shall never see death." Well, you say, what? Actually, they wanted to stone him for this. Why? Because he said, "Who makest thou thyself?" So he's saying the greatest of the benefits he can give to you for following him, if you will keep his saying, he can keep you alive that you never see death. And you know, you can read the rest. Say, well, now we know that thou art the devil. Abraham is dead. The prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? He could have said, well, I don't really mean it that way. No, he meant it that way. He said, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God." So he was saying, this is the greatest, and he has given this benefit to some few people on this planet Earth. I mean, he says it's the highest of the highest that he can give to you if you follow him. And they are so rare that he gave it to one or two people on this planet that we know in the Bible. Enoch, Elijah the prophet. And he actually promised that in this end time, he's going to make many believers come up without seeing physical death, which we call rapture. But it's still the same, giving them this benefit. Because the Bible said, we shall not all die, we shall all be changed in the moment. And I'm going to go to that in a moment, because that's part of the benefits that we are going to get if you keep following the Lord, which we call rapture. Look at it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This benefit that they can live without seeing physical death, yes. He actually said he's going to translate us out of this planet without physical death. And in 1 Thessalonians, Apostle Paul gave it, it looks like it's going to be everybody, but it's not everybody. Remember, it is a benefit that you got to acquire, aspire to become one of them. Aspire to be one of them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." That's resurrection. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now that, I say, is part of the benefits of following him. You have to aspire to be one of them. Just like saying, if you live for him like this, he said, you shall never see it. It's a general benefit he has given to everyone. We are going to go and meet him in the air. You have to aspire to be one of them by living for him. Enoch walked with God and pleased God. And the Bible said he was taken away without seeing it. So that is the greatest of the benefits. Like I said, those are benefits of, and we have preached some of those here as a summary of what we have preached. Just giving you summaries of all that we have preached here. We also preach what we call the full redemption. Open to Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. And what do you mean by full redemption? Apostle Paul will explain it to us here. Romans chapter 8 from verse 19. Apostle Paul writing to us said, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. That is, even this planet has been groaning. This planet we are standing upon has been groaning, that something is not right on this planet. You can tell. Well, this world is full of, look at what is going on. Al-Qaeda over there, Boko Haram over there, ISIS over there, shooting in America. Almost everywhere there's something. Another uprising of the Biafras in Nigeria. And things are everywhere. The heart itself is groaning. Something is not right on this planet. And Apostle Paul has already told us, the expectation of the creature, this creature, waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. What does that mean, manifestation of the sons of God? Because in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, Daniel said he saw a vision, and he wrote it, that you can go back and read that. The whole book of Daniel, chapter 7, was this vision. He saw this vision, and he saw a representation of beasts, and it was interpreted to him by the angel that those each beast is representing kingdoms. One kingdom come, another kingdom come, another kingdom come, another kingdom come, until the last kingdom. And then after it came a man. He said he saw the throne of God, the white throne of God, and then one was brought to God like a son of man. And then the angel translated that is representing the people of the saints of the Most High God. We took over this kingdom of the earth. That is what the creature had been waiting for. When the saints of God, called the sons of God here, will now be the one ruling on this planet. The earth has been groaning for that. That this world is full of chaos, wickedness, violence, murder. In the world that was before, God looked down and said, gee, the wickedness is too much. Let's just wipe them out. And God did it. Destroyed them in the days of Noah and saved only 8 people. Now, he said he would not do that anymore. After he looked down and saw just carcasses, he said he didn't want to do that anymore. So now, the earth has been groaning for this is wickedness. Homosexuality in America, what God destroyed a city for. And the world is coming to the point where it is crying unto God. Even this planet is crying unto God. Not just the people, even the planet is crying unto God. And God is saying, the planet is waiting for that manifestation where God is going to just take it over and give it to the people of the saints of the Most High God. That shall rule and reign forever on this planet. There will be no more groaning, because there will be no more death, no more death, no more disease, no more trouble. Because Satan and all his enemies and all his cohorts and all his angel devils of Satan, they all be locked up. That is in the book of Revelation chapter 20. You can read that later. Now, let's continue with that. Romans chapter 8. Say, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. That is, this planet was subject to vanity, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's what I just described to you, depicted to Daniel in a vision, that all these troubles, the beasts and that's world governments that are messing things up, God is going to turn things around and bring his own kingdom of saints, children of God. Now, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they. And that verse 23 is where I'm really going. He said, not only the creation, animals are groaning, plants are groaning, the heart planet is groaning, everything is groaning. He said, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to with the redemption of our body. Now that is the full redemption I'm talking about. That is, we are promised that we'll be a full redemption. Even our own physical body will be redeemed from all this sickness, disease, death, and all those things that is troubling the mankind. And that is what God is promising. I say we have preached about full redemption, and Christ has promised us that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, I'm moving close to a close right now. When he has called us to be saints, to be believers, he put in his body, in the midst of the believers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. for this purpose, to bring us to a position where we can take this planet over like he promised. See, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all, everyone, come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that is the goal of Christ when he saved you and bring you to his body, that we should now be ministered to by the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and the anointing is through there to bring all of us to that perfection, which he calls saints of God, saints of the Most High God, that he can give this planet to them to live forever and ever, like we said. And then God, we have a rest, because God is still working. He said the 7-day rest, where there will be no more trouble, because the saints will begin to reign on this planet Earth. Like we said, that is part of the full redemption. And we have talked about the rapture, which is the final state of how we get out of A. Before the world is destroyed, God has to take his people away temporarily, and clean up this planet. World war, diseases, trouble, many things that has been reported in the book of Revelation. And then the Lord and the saints shall come down again and reign for 1,000 years. Are you with me so far? Praise the Lord. We also have preached about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is, I've alluded to it. Let me give you some Bible verses. In the book of Acts chapter 1, will he come back? The Bible says so. Acts chapter 1 verse 10. After the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected and was talking to the apostles, they were following him. He was telling them more and more and more things until they got all the way to the Mount of Olives. And the Bible said, and when he had spoken these things, that's verse 9, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, somebody was going up, you'll be looking. They're all looking up. Can I still see him? He's far away. Suddenly somebody appeared in front of them, two angels. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, that caught their attention. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go to heaven. Go into heaven. Praise the Lord. So this is certain. He is coming back. As you have seen him go into heaven. And John chapter 14, I'm going to wrap it up. I've read it before. I'm going to just read again verse 1. 2-3, the Lord Jesus Christ told us. This time, I'm just not emphasizing the fact that he said, believe in me also. In verse 3, he said, let me stop at verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Praise the Lord. So that's another proof that he said he is coming back and he's going to come again. And knowing all of these things from the Godhead, that like this same Jesus, like we said in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, if you have not read that before, go read it again. It was shown to Apostle John that there was one on the throne to be looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, a rainbow surrounding the throne, and 24 seats on about this throne. On those 24 seats were 24 elders. Elders means the human beings. They look like human beings. See, elders. and two or four beasts. He described the beasts. And they were all saying, holy, to the one on the throne. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. So we know the one on the throne is Lord God Almighty. Amen. And they were worshiping the one on the throne. And he was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. The Father. The Father God. And then came the drama. He had a book. Who is able to open the book on his, in his right hand? Who can even take it? Who can even look upon it? No man was found in heaven or not. And John, Apostle John, said he started weeping. Nobody will take this book and open it. Because he knew that that will doom the old marriage. One of the elders said, don't weep. Behold me, look. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the root of Jesse has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals. And right in the midst of the four beasts, suddenly appeared a lamb. A lamb that would look like as if it had been slain. And I've preached that one over here, that this lamb is a representation. Because Apostle Paul could have said, I saw the Lord Jesus Christ came. No, he didn't see the Lord Jesus Christ come. I saw a lamb. But the mystery was that this lamb that looked like it was slain was walking. So it must have been slain but now resurrected. But the mystery was that these 24 elders and these four beasts that have been worshiping the one on the throne called Lord God Almighty, they stopped worshiping that one. They started worshiping the lamb. That would be called idolatry if that lamb is not the one on the throne. And that is the mystery, and we are pretty sure that is where we see the fact that the Godhead is one. One Lord, one Spirit that has manifested to us. And that's why he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because the one on the throne was represented as the Lamb when he came to the world to die for mankind. Praise the Lord. That is the summary of all that we have been preaching over the years. Now that you know that he's coming soon, what manner of person ought you to be? Let's stand up to our feet. Let's stand up to our feet and thank him. If you believe all that thing you have been preaching, keep it to your heart because his word is yea and amen. He says, is this that word that's going to use to judge us? We want to be right. Thank him for it and then thank him for the life he has led you through, for even giving you the grace to believe all these messages. And that the word you have been hearing will not be a condemnation to you, but it shall be your glorification, it shall be your salvation, because it is the word of God that saved us. Talk to him. Talk to the Lord yourself. Talk to the Lord yourself. Father, we have given summary of all that we know from the Godhead to the Lord's coming soon, that you are one and only one. The Bible revealed Jesus to mankind and told us how it all began and told us how it's going to end. And that is exactly what you have given to us in the book of Genesis through to the book of Revelation, how it's going to end. We commit our lives into your hand, Lord Jesus, that you help us to walk that narrow road, continuing your word and please you so that we can come to that fullness of the stature of Christ you have called us unto. To come to that fullness and the knowledge of the Son of God. That is our challenge, our goal. And the Lord is working with us through the Holy Spirit that has already given to us so that we can get to that state. Father, we thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Just talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord yourself. Talk to the Lord yourself. Hallelujah. 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 They were singing holy, holy to the one on the throne. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Alleluia.
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 Alleluia. Amen. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the exhortation, for the summary, and let your name, Lord, be glorified. Thank you, Lord, for the goodness of the Lord that you have shown in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Manley wants to say something.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
How wonderful it is. The
Lord has thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.